The disasters that have befallen Japan continue to multiply. Thousands are already confirmed dead, with the toll expected to exceed 10,000 from both the 9.0 magnitude earthquake and the tsunami it triggered, which struck the island nation on March 11th. Add to these already cataclysmic conditions, failures of cooling systems, hydrogen explosions, fires, and the possible breach of containment structures at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant in the northern part of the country, where three reactors were operating at the time. The failures at the nuclear plant may result in the worst scenario imaginable, a meltdown, with a massive release of radiation. Hundreds of thousands of people have been evacuated from the area, and another 140,000 living in proximity to the plants being ordered to stay inside their homes, sealing them up as best they can to prevent radiation exposure. Between the lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Kevin Camps, a nuclear waste specialist with the group Beyond Nuclear, whose mission is to educate and activate the public on the connections between nuclear power and nuclear weapons. The group advocates for the abandonment of both to safeguard the planet's future. Camps talks about the effects of exposure to radiation on human health and why building more nuclear plants in the U.S. is not the solution to our energy needs or to address the dangers of global warming. The information in this interview reflects facts known about Japan's nuclear power accident on March 13th.
Well, it's fair to say this is an unprecedented nuclear emergency in history. Radioactive cesium is escaping at Fukushima, as is radioactive iodine. And radioactive iodine-131 attacks the human thyroid gland, and that's why there has already been widespread distribution of potassium iodide tablets to evacuees. The evacuees now number 350,000 people, which means that this is an evacuation as big as the evacuation that took place around Chernobyl 25 years ago. So it's a good thing that they're distributing potassium iodide. They did not do that at Chernobyl. There's been a thyroid pathology epidemic in Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia ever since Chernobyl happened because they didn't distribute these protective tablets. But one problem in Japan is that they, again, were downplaying the situation in the early hours. They only evacuated people out to 2 miles from the Fukushima nuclear power plant, and they told other people beyond that point just to stay indoors. Well, they should have evacuated those people in the beginning. Everybody should have been given potassium iodide tablets immediately. They were not. And so there were many hours where people were in their home as little as 3 kilometers away from this reactor in distress without potassium iodide tablets, breathing radioactivity in the air, radioactive gases, radioactive particles in fine dust form. If radioactive cesium and radioactive iodine are loose in the environment, that means that there has at least been fuel damage. But now we know that there is a partial meltdown because the authorities have admitted it. There are over 200 different radioactive isotopes in nuclear fuel, in high-level radioactive waste, and many of them are biologically hazardous. So any talk of benign radioactivity or less harmful radioactivity is very misleading. You name the radioactive isotope, it's going to have its own particular impact on the human body. Radioactive cesium seeks muscle tissue. Radioactive strontium seeks bone. Radioactive iodine seeks the thyroid. Plutonium, a microscopic speck in your lung, if inhaled, will initiate lung cancer. It may take a decade or two, but you will have lung cancer someday if you inhale plutonium. That, too, may be being released right now in Japan because the fuel has melted down. Everything in it is now airborne. It's being driven out of the reactor into the environment by steam and pressure and falling out downwind over vast territories at this point.
Kevin Camps, someone I respect a lot, James Hansen, says we need more nuclear power to offset fossil fuels to reduce the threat of climate change. These existing plants are mostly like 40 years old. What about a new generation of nukes with a different design?
Well, I'm sorry to have to say that I think James Hansen really needs to do his research on this subject. I know that he is a brilliant climatologist and very courageous in that regard, but his advocacy for Generation 4 atomic energy as some kind of solution to the climate crisis is just very misplaced. The reason I say that is that Generation 4 atomic reactors are decades off, most optimistically, because they are not, as you said, in existence yet. They are merely on paper. About a decade ago, the top leading candidate, Generation 4 atomic reactor, again, this is all theory, it's not reality yet, it was called a pebble bed modular reactor. And the best selling point for the industry on this reactor was we're going to save a whole lot of money in the construction of these reactors because we're not going to build containment buildings because they're so inherently safe. You couldn't possibly melt one down. You don't need containment if you're not going to have a meltdown. That was what they said. September 11th happened. The major U.S. partner in the deal walked away. A South African firm was leading this effort. And Exelon Nuclear of Chicago walked away from the project because without a containment building, this reactor, even if it were true, which it's not, that it was inherently safe, would be wide open to terrorist attack. And just like with the Chernobyl reactor, the pebble bed modular reactor used a lot of graphite in its design. Graphite is flammable. So from a security perspective, it was wide open to attack and catastrophic radioactivity release. But even the safety issues with that reactor were very real. In Germany, a pebble bed modular reactor that was research and scale suffered a radiation release right about the same time as the Chernobyl disaster. So we've had accidents. We have the risk of attack. That was the lead candidate Generation 4 design. So the thing is, something that's that far off in the future anyway, not even perfected, it's actually risky, it can't help us with the climate crisis. As Hansen himself has said, we have a decade or two to turn this thing around in a very big way. We can't wait a generation for these new reactors to show up. And besides waiting that long, these new reactors are going to cost literally hundreds of billions of dollars just in research and development and then finally construction. So we could waste a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money and a whole lot of breath arguing about more atomic energy of a better form. But we could solve the problem in the meantime, if we chose to, with renewables, with efficiency, that do not have radiological risks whatsoever.
That was Kevin Camps of Beyond Nuclear. Contact the group at area code 301-270-2209 or visit their website at beyondnuclear.org.